Good morning, and we had a great week. I trust you had a good week. Did you have a good week?
Amen.
That's awesome. We had a wonderful week at District Conference. It's so good after all of these years to be with pastors, and we all have the same, we have so much in common, and it's so good to be with people we went to school with and then to meet new pastors. And you know that in your, whatever you've done in your life, when you have someone in your life where you have everything in common with, and where you can spend a few days sharing and crying and worshiping and holding each other and praying over each other's families, because pastors are great people. And it's just amazing to be able to be with them. If you know anything about Linda and I, there's a lot of pastors these days that are younger than we are, but the thing is that the hotel where we stayed in Niagara Falls, everything was in the hotel, so we would meet, we just took over the lobby, there were like 500 people, so, and you know, every night, Linda and I were the last ones in the lobby before we went to our room. So everyone would, even the younger ones, and we would be the last ones there and saying, good night, everyone, and we'd just kind of hang out and talk, and it was so awesome. And we as a church are really blessed to be part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And for us, as credential holders with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada while we were there, what an honor for us to be. When I looked and what they represent, not just in Canada, but what they represent worldwide in terms of the outreach to nations, and that clip that you saw wasn't produced by us, but that's what our fellowship would look like. We just go to all the nations and whatever the seed is, whether it's money, love, whatever it is, we are in the forefront of that, and you need to know that. It's very exciting. And so I want us to look at a verse this morning in Scripture, and it's found in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And it says this, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for who? You." So I like that. Don't you love that? It's a really, really nice verse. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. And we know that verse. We know that verse here. And what I want to do is I want us to know that verse more than here today. And so I asked Nat to come back at the end of the service to sing a couple of songs, and not to stay long, but I want to close the service today in prayer. And I just want us to, as a church family, to come and to pray together, okay? 5 minutes. And just pray together before we go and we have some goodies to eat. And just to commit to walking together and to praying. And that all of us, that our faith would just rise up. I really like that. Do you know what I really want my small mustard seed faith to look like? We all have desires and we all have dreams, but and so do I. And what I want is, can you, James, can you just kill the computer one, please? Thanks. Just the computer sound. Mute that. Thanks. And what I want it to look like is this. I could stand here like we've always done. And I could say, okay, with every head bowed and every hand raised, are you here this morning, and would you make a commitment to the Lord? And we do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want is faith to believe that the glory of God will fill the house, so that I would never have to say with every eye bowed or with every eye closed and every raise your hand, that there would be the glory of the, would be so full within the house that you would just, wherever you are, just stand up and come and walk to the front. Not because of me and not because of anything else, but because the glory is here, that you would just kind of walk up. And you would say, I got to get right with God. I have sin in my life, or I just have to get right with God. Okay? That the glory would be so strong, that have faith as small as a mustard seed, that we could move a mountain. Not ridiculous. Sometimes we talk stupid. That someone would be healed. So there was the speaker that we had. One of the speakers we had was from Alaska. And his father was the general superintendent of the fellowship that he belonged to. And one day, his father stepped down from that role because he had an extramarital affair, and he was like, that would be like our general superintendent, who is such a man of God. And all of a sudden, it was just... And he never saw his father for many years, but he always wanted to see his father, and so he looked him up. And he had already been remarried. He was a big businessman down in the States, in southern states. And he went the first time, and it was okay. And he tried the following year, and he brought his son with him. And his father... they went for dinner, and then at the end, his father said to him, he said, thank you for coming, but don't ever come back again, because I don't want to see you. I have a new life now. So this man who was speaking, he had to lean on his father. Amen. And doors began to open up, and he went to India on a missions trip. And how many of you have ever heard the name Mark Buntane? Mm-hmm. Mark Buntane is one of the missionaries, historic missionaries, in part of our fellowship. And Mark Buntane, through all of those awful circumstances, he had an opportunity to go and hang with Mark Buntane because of people who administer and contacts, da, 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 da. And there was somebody who was dying, and Mark Buntane went to prayer. And this is a true story. He went to prayer for, I think it was 3 days or of fasting, and the person died. And we have someone in this church, Jenny Graveline, who died, you know. She was dead for 8 minutes, and she's alive, so it happens. And Mark Buntane went, and he prayed, and he says, in the name of Jesus, and the person came back to life. Okay. I'm asking for a mustard seed. I'm not even, I hope that I would have faith like that. I'm asking for a mustard seed so that the glory of God would show up here, so that the dead will be raised. And what I mean by the dead will be raised is those who are not in a relationship with Jesus Christ would come because of the power of God in the house. And you know what? OK, Can we believe for that? Okay. We cannot apologize for who we are, right? I get it that we live in a very secular environment and that it would be easy to conform to all the methodologies that they have within the body of Christ within churches. We cannot apologize for who we are, that we believe in faith, like small as a mustard seed, that the backslider will start serving the Lord again, that the dead will be raised, that people will be healed, that hurts that are so deep within someone, that there will be healing within this house and beyond this house, and that lives would be transformed, so that it's not just nice church that we're coming together. It was really good. The presentation, he started the clip just when it needed to. The timing was perfect, you know? Everything about the message was the timing. We could follow, we could track with him. We knew at that moment in the message that he would say, okay, it's time to close your eyes and let the Holy Spirit start to work and convict you. Okay? We know it. We know the script. We know it so well. We've been brought up in the church. Okay? You people are sitting here. You know it. You know it. You know it. You know it. You almost, after all of these years, you probably even know what I'm going to say next. Probably some of the stories I've told you five times. I don't even remember anymore. And you say, oh yeah, there he goes again. Same story. You know what? All of that's okay. But the glory of God, okay, that we would expect the unexpected, and the unexpected would become natural. I'm not saying weird, okay? Holy Spirit is not weird. We are weird. Holy Spirit's not weird. And if you were weird, and like I've said, if you were weird before you got saved, the chances are you're still weird now. Holy Spirit is not weird. So we expect the presence of God to show up.
Yes.
Okay? Thank you, Lord. Just being honest, we have, this year has been a tough year for a lot of families that we know, just really struggling with faith, struggling with many things, and it's a time when we need the glory,
yes,
in people's lives,
yes,
because Ken Jeffrey counseling is not going to help anybody, okay? I'm not that good, but he is great.
Amen.
Amen. So that's not really my message, but I had to share that with you, you know? And I really like that. I really like that verse. It says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. So without it being weird or without it being silly talk about that, can our faith rise up? Can we believe that? Can we trust in that? Jesus was very fond of the mustard seed. It's incredible. Jesus is a really neat guy. He used it in the parable of Matthew. He used it in the parable and in Mark, in Luke, and he used it in an illustration in two ways. As we have just seen, he used it when the disciples could not cast out a demon from a child, and he said to them, he says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. I don't know if Jesus wanted us to go to our ski hill and stand there and say, okay, ski hill, move. And sometimes we've been ridiculous like this. Like, come on. But I can say to you, And I could say to you, Lord, I don't know what's happened in your life, but I could say to you, or to you, or to you, or to you, and I could say, mountain, move in the name of Jesus, and be healed, and be whole, and walk in victory, and walk in hope, and be active in your faith, and be someone who downloads and loves and encourages and invests in people around you, and be happy, because the more you give, the happier you are. And the happier you are is when you meet with the Lord in private. The conversation flows, because just like I was so happy when my Uncle Jack said to me, Ken, I'm proud of you, when he was 96 years old. When you give and when you're active and when you have a walk with the Lord, when you go into his presence in your closet, what happens is the conversation flows. You can't wait to go with him. It's not out of obligation, because, oh, I didn't pray this week, I got to pray. You want to be in his presence, because Holy Spirit will reveal the Father's heart, and he will say, Jen, my daughter, I love you and I'm proud of you. Okay, how many of you need to hear that? And I don't care how old you are here. Okay, I don't care how old you are. We all need to hear that, amen? And I need to hear that. And when I hear it from you, when you sang Happy Birthday, or whatever, I love it. How many of you like it when we have sung Happy Birthday to you, and you feel good about it? Because you know what? You're honored and you're respected. But there's no better honor or respect than that comes from the Father. Amen. It's the best. Like, it is totally amazing. In Luke, he used the same mustard seed to refer to total forgiveness. When he said to them, he said, if your brother or sister sins against you 7 times a day, and 7 times comes back and says, I repent, I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. No, don't get me wrong, okay? There's two things that could happen here. There's forgiveness and there's trust. Forgiveness is always something that took place in the past, right? Because you're forgiving someone. But moving ahead, there's trust, right? And so let's not be naive about this. The thing is, if you break a trust with me, I will forgive you. But don't think that you're going to be on the A-list of me sharing my personal life with you ever again. Okay? That's common sense, right? So don't mess this verse up. Let's put it in the right perspective. But we need to forgive. Okay? The trust thing is we have to develop that all over again, right? How many of you know? How many of you are married people where you could just wish that you didn't say something that you said? And you knew, at that moment, you knew that if you said, you know what, honey, I'm sorry, you knew, because your spouse is so awesome, that they forgave you. But you still have to build that trust up, right? You still have to build that trust up. Amen? And you should. And when you're in a walk with God, you want to build that trust up. It's not like you're going to shun the person. You want to build that trust up. So he says this. So the apostle said to the Lord in the verse, it says, increase our faith. Oh, Lord, increase our faith this morning. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree. Has anyone ever seen a mulberry tree? What does a mulberry tree look like? Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. He spoke in parables, okay? Don't be going looking for mulberry trees this afternoon, okay? Jesus wasn't condemning, okay? This is where we get it wrong, okay? This is where we get it wrong in the scripture. You know, he said to the disciples, oh, you of little faith. He wasn't condemning them. Okay, did Jesus ever condemn? He didn't condemn. He wasn't condemning them for their substandard faith, and neither do I do that with you. And if I do, I'm sorry at times, because sometimes, you know what happens is you have so much hope, you have so much passion, you have so much desire, you want the best for people. And when they're not walking with the Lord and they're struggling, and I know it as the pastor, you know what? It's so painful. So what happens is your frustration might come out on a service sometimes, and there's a couple of faces that I look at in the congregation. Sharon being one, if I say something that is like, and I'll just look, I go, oh, that was an owie. And there's certain ones that are here like that, like, look at that. But it's because you want so much for them. So Jesus wasn't condemning his disciples for substandard faith. He was trying to show them how important faith would be in their future ministry, in their daily decisions, in their daily life, in their families and everything else. That's what he was trying to show them. He was just trying to get you through the day, guys, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, amen? Amen. And so if you're facing a problem that seems as big and immovable as a mountain, turn your eyes from the mountain to Jesus Christ for faith. Amen? Amen. And it's a discipline to do it. It's easy to say amen and I'm going to do it, but it's a discipline to do that. I have to turn away from this thing because this thing is not doing me any good. And I need to turn to Jesus because in Jesus there's victory. And I have to make a decision that I'm going to do it. And then I have to fight. And I need the help of the Holy Spirit to stay here and not allow it to go there or to allow that to creep back into me. Amen? No one said it was going to be easy. But it's good. So when you're facing a problem that seems as big as that, turn your eyes to Jesus. And when you do, your work for him will be useful. It will be vibrant. It will be exciting. It will be great. You know, I had a... Has anyone ever said to you, I'd like to be just like you?
Oh, yeah.
This week, folks, I'm a spiritual father now to a lot of people, to a lot of pastors. And we were sitting down in Starbucks in Niagara Falls, and a young pastor in his 30s, he turned to Linda and I, and me, you know me, I'm going to cry because, and he says, I want to be just like you guys, okay? And I want the city of North Bay, when they look at your walk with God, to say, I want to be just like you. Amen. I want to be just like you, because we have faith the size of a mustard seed, but we believe in faith. We believe in faith. We believe in faith. We believe in the victory. Amen?
Yes.
So what did Jesus mean when he said you have to have faith as a mustard seed? Does it mean you only need small faith? Can tiny amounts of faith really move mountains? What is the meaning of this, and what is the application for your life today? What is the application of this for my life today? Amen? Mustard seed. Look at that. Look at the size of that. Faith, as small as a mustard seed. Would you look at that? Isn't that incredible? Now look at this. Oh my goodness, that's a mustard tree. Look. Now look at that. Oh my goodness, so that's us right now. Let's use this as an analogy of our walk with God. Can you see it? Can you see it? Isn't that awesome? He is awesome, folks. He is, look at that thing. They say it grows about 20 feet tall, about 20 feet wide. Like, you don't, no one in North Bay, in the city, has a lawn big enough for that to be on. You wouldn't have any grass underneath that because it would just be total shade your whole lawn. And that's what I want. I want our faith to be 20 feet high, 20 feet wide, 20,000 feet high, 20,000 feet wide. Amen? The tree is known as a mustard tree, and it has minute seeds and yellow seeds, and they grow widely in the Mediterranean. And mustard seeds have been known for in various locations through the world. And even though it's one of the smallest seeds, look what happens with it. Look what happens with it. And you know, and the thing is that's really neat about a mustard tree is this. Now use this as an analogy to where you are with your walk with God right now. The tree can grow in dry climates and even thrive in clay or sandy soil. Okay? It can grow in dry weather or wet climates. I want us to look at the mustard seed this morning, as I said, as being symbolic of our faith. Is that okay? We all know that our faith can be tested in dry times. How many of you know that? How many of you are having a dry time? No, I said I wouldn't do that. Close your eyes and raise your hands. Are you going through a dry time? Let the glory of the Lord just take over. Nothing to do with, I don't need to know. Unless you want to tell me. Okay? Did you know that if you cut down that tree behind me, it will grow back again? Yeah, you cut it right down, it'll grow back again. So the analogy is that during times of pruning, how many of you have experienced pruning in your life? Okay, it's not fun. A believer can overcome and come back stronger than ever. Do you believe that? How many of you have had moments where you made a comeback? Man, I'm on the comeback trail, okay? Man, oh man, the last three seasons, I've only hit 100. But I'm coming back, and man, now I'm going to hit 1,000. Okay? My faith is going to hit 1,000. Okay, because you come back stronger than ever. And a believer can overcome and come back stronger, just like the mustard seed that's been severely pruned. The mustard seed is drought tolerant. How many of you want to be drought tolerant this morning? Amen? Isn't that good? And if you have faith, even as a mustard seed, we can also be drought tolerant in the dry times of this life that we live in. This is wonderful news. Amen? Yes. It's wonderful news. Would you like some more good news? Amen? The mustard seed has many uses. Okay? The leaves can be made into, you guessed it, mustard. The tree can produce edible salts, even use the small branches as toothbrushes. And the leaves have been shown to prevent tooth decay and activate and alleviate toothaches. Did you know that? I want your faith this morning and my faith this morning to alleviate some of the toothaches that people are carrying in their journey of life. Okay, that we would be that we would all be that kind of thing. Okay, that the fruit of the Spirit in our life would activate that in others. Your faith journey with Jesus can help alleviate the toothaches of life of those that are around you and in your life as well. Amen. So Jesus compared the mustard seed to the kingdom in Matthew 13:31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. I only preached 16 minutes last Sunday. And Randy told me it was too short. So you're getting a little bit longer today. Won't be too much longer, but it'll be a little bit longer. And Jesus seems to be saying that the kingdom of God at the time of Jesus' ministry, his earthly ministry, was small in beginning, and from this tiny seed, it would grow and it would grow and it would grow. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the ceiling. So I think that's what it's saying. And with this growth, it would never stop. It would never stop. Just like your faith, it will grow and it will grow and it will grow. It will never stop. It will never stop. And Jesus taught the parable of the mustard seed as a reminder for us not to be discouraged by slow or small beginnings. God loves to begin with what seems to be insignificant. Have you ever felt insignificant? Have you ever felt, you know what, it's an awful feeling. You know, for many, many years we would go to district conference, you know, and I felt so insignificant. There would be a room full of people. And now we know everyone is so wonderful when you walk in to a room now and everyone said, "Hi, Ken Island." But I remember the days when no one said hi to us. So this time I rallied a couple of young pastors and I said, "David Tapley, years ago when I came into the conference, he took us aside. He says, 'Hi, how are you, Ken and Linda? You know, nice to meet you.'" And I said, he passed that baton to me, and I've done that for years and years. And now I said, "I'm passing the baton to you. Never allow anyone," and this goes for you too, "never allow anyone to sit in our church and ever feel insignificant." Okay, ever, ever. Have you ever? I hope that no one has ever felt insignificant here. Okay, that is an awful feeling. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And Jesus taught. So listen to this. You know, we have these beautiful movies about what Jesus is like, and all the women that are watching the movies, they look, "Oh, he's so handsome. Jesus would be the perfect husband for me." Like, you know. But listen to what Isaiah 53:2 says. It says this. This is what the Isaiah said. He says, "He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. There was no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." That's describing Jesus, not the Jesus we see in the movie that's so, like, you know, like, wow, like, look at this guy, you know, like, makes us, all us men, feel like we don't measure up, like, you know. That's not what the scripture says. Another reason Jesus told this parable is to show us that God will take the most unlikely person and turn them into a sovereign vessel. Do you have mustard seeds to believe that?
Yes.
Okay? Do you have the faith to believe that? Another way, put another way, people that are rejected get God's attention. Okay? God loves to take someone that has been hurt, misunderstood, underestimated, and turn him or her into a sovereign vessel that could change a nation. I'm not even talking about changing a church or changing a city or changing a province. I'm talking about changing a nation. Okay, let's start with the nation and then excel where we're planted. Amen? How many of you have ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Have you heard of Charles Spurgeon? Did you know that Charles Spurgeon applied to study the ministry at Regent Park's College in London, and he was turned down? He was turned down. Now, for those of you who never heard of Charles Spurgeon, his dates are 1834 to 1892. He was an English Baptist preacher, and to this day, Charles Spurgeon remains highly influential among Christians of many, many denominations, and he is known as the Prince of Preachers. Okay, and he was turned down for a school. Have any of you ever been turned down for something in life? So in conclusion, if you have had problems with your faith, you're not alone. Because even the disciples who spent 3 years with Jesus had difficulty in believing, didn't they? And many times Jesus told them, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Again, he's not rebuking them. Like, you know what? Your eyes have to be open. You have to believe it. You know, you can't beat me into believing. You know, it has to come from him. Like, you know, like, please don't try to take your super faith and impose it on me. I have to get it, you know? And so he rebuked them. And you know, I too have been guilty of having little faith. I'm not proud to admit it, but I have. You know, have you? And sometimes my humanity gets in the way of believing what I see. And we must believe with the eyes of faith. And our eyes must not succumb just to our head knowledge, amen? So, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, because you have not seen me, or because you have seen me, you have believed. And blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Blessed are you people this morning. So this is what faith is all about. It only takes a tiny amount of faith to move mountains. And our faith is only as strong as the object of our faith. Right? Our faith is only as strong as the object of our faith. So my question this morning is to you, is Jesus the object of your faith? And if Jesus is the object of your faith, and you continue to walk in that, what will it look like for you in your personal situation? What will it look for you? What will it look like for you in your circle of influence? What will it look like for you in your jobs? What will it look like for you in this church? What will it look like for in people's lives that are around us? Amen? So God is good. So Nat, would you come? And I'm going to ask you to come to the altar before we go. I'll bless the food from here. But I want to close in prayer with my family, and that's a birthday present to me. So that's a little bit of guilt to make you come. So there you go. So just come up here for just a second, and let's close in a word of prayer this morning.